South Dakota Public Broadcasting, sdpb.org.
Good morning. We'll call the meeting of the House of Representatives Health and Human Services Committee to order. I'd like to greet our internet listeners as well as those of you that have joined us here in the committee meeting room this morning. I would like to remind everyone to please be sure to turn your cell phones off. Give you just a second to pull it out, turn it off. Also, any computers that may not be muted as far as the sound. And anyone that's testifying, please be sure to sign in at the door. That helps the secretary be sure we have the names correct. And with that, I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Blake?
Here.
Boomgarden?
Here.
Hurd?
Here.
Dreyer?
Here.
Ironclad? Jensen?
Here.
Lucas?
Here.
Mosier?
Here.
Heigard?
Here.
Bamkala?
Here.
Vanderlinde?
Here.
Rave?
Here.
Pitts?
Here.
Madam Chair, there's a quorum.
We do have a quorum, so we will proceed with committee this morning. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Moved by Representative Rave to approve the minutes, seconded by Representative Ramkumar. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Minutes have been approved. Excuse me, just a minute. But they haven't been distributed. Thank you. With that, this morning, our... We do, but they haven't been distributed. Okay. With that, we will move into our first bill this morning, House Bill 1202, to permit certain persons with insulin-treated diabetes mellitus to get an endorsement on a commercial driver's license to drive a school bus. And we have our first testifier. Good morning, Representative Fain, Mr. Leader.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Bob Fain, State Representative, District 5 from Watertown. I bring before you today House Bill 1202, which we feel is a solution to a issue that have faced not only folks who are in charge of transporting our children to public schools throughout the year, but also a problem for folks who would like to or previously have been able to drive school buses, but are currently unable to because they are unfortunate enough to be victims of diabetes. As you'll see in the bill, and I will keep my testimony very short because there are people here that are far greater experts on the field than I, and I would, by the way, Madam Chair, defer my rebuttal to them if there need to be any. They will explain to you that this bill would put some very tough requirements on folks who have diabetes before they would be allowed to drive a school bus. You'll see that they have proof, they will be required to have proof that they have not had any diabetes-related incidents within 5 years. They go through a tremendous amount of pre-screening. There is a required physical they would need to pass before they could be hired, and a number of things that they will go into. And before I wrap up, committee, I'd like to just have you consider one thing. In my opinion, someone with a disease that is being treated and is currently under control would be far less likely to have a health-related incident while driving than maybe someone who is morbidly obese and is not caring for themselves in the way that they should. I would say that the opportunity of a heart attack or related illness while driving for someone of that nature would be far greater than someone who has dealt with diabetes for the majority of their life and has done a very good job of controlling it and will certify to that extent that they have. But with that, I will wrap up my testimony, let the experts come up and tell you more about it, but I would please encourage your support of House Bill 1202. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Fain. Further proponents of House Bill 1202. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Rick Meyer. I own a school bus company based in Scotland, South Dakota, employing about 40 people. As well, I am the past president and a current board member of the South Dakota School of Transportation Association. Our organization is comprised of transportation directors of school-owned fleets, as well as managers and owners of school bus companies. I'm here today to ask for your support for HB 1202, a bill which would allow certain insulin-treated diabetics to drive a school bus within the state of South Dakota. Each year, national trade publications survey school bus operators asking what some of their major challenges are. Regularly, respondents cite the shortage of drivers as a major issue. South Dakota is no different than the rest of the nation in that, whether in large cities like Sioux Falls or in small towns like Scotland, the shortage of school bus drivers is a regular challenge. As a case in point, in the year 2007, I was searching for a school bus driver in Yankton and had only two applicants. One of those was a gentleman with insulin-treated diabetes, but who has never had a diabetic reaction. He was nonetheless disqualified by law. Therefore, in the city the size of Yankton, I had only one qualified applicant. In 1994, a Canadian study concerning older drivers found that elderly men 70 years of age in Quebec with diabetes were found not to have significantly higher risk of road accidents compared to a control group with no medical conditions. In 1993, the Federal Highway Administration began a federal waiver study program to determine the associated risk based on accident involvement of allowing commercial motor vehicle operators with insulin-treated diabetes to drive interstate. Their actual study results indicate a lower accident rate than the national accident rate of all other commercial motor vehicle drivers. This can be attributed in a large part to the fact that diabetics who carefully monitor their disease to be in compliance with the regulations are better able to control their health issues. In the late 1990s, the Federal Highway Administration commissioned the University of Pittsburgh to conduct a risk analysis to investigate insulin-treated diabetics and the operation of commercial motor vehicles. The study estimated that 1,420 drivers with insulin-treated diabetes might be licensed to operate commercial motor vehicles in interstate commerce. The conclusion drawn from the examination was that the additional risk of insulin using commercial motor vehicle drivers was well within the present risk, the range of acceptable risks. Congress saw the need to end the 33-year-old blanket discrimination against people with insulin-treated diabetes when in 2005 they passed legislation allowing for the current interstate waiver program for commercial motor vehicle drivers. As a result, the United States Department of Transportation has adopted a diabetes waiver program open to eligible interstate drivers. At least 13 other states allow a waiver such as this bill allows. I am unaware of any problems that these states have had in the administration of this kind of waiver. Indeed, Michigan has had its waiver law in existence for over 20 years, a sign that these laws work well when properly drafted and administered. These states have requirements much like those contained in HB 1202, which specifically detail the qualifications an applicant must meet to be able to drive a school bus within South Dakota. Since the U.S. DOT does not regulate the qualifications of school bus drivers intrastate, this bill has been introduced to allow certain diabetics whose disease is well under control to be able to drive a school bus within the state. What will be the consequences if this action is not taken? While 18.2 million Americans live with diabetes today, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that 1 in 3 Americans born in the year 2000 will develop diabetes in their lifetime. This estimate underscores the fact that under current law, the driver shortage will not get better, but will only worsen. This same legislation passed the House Transportation Committee last year by a vote of 11 to 1. It went on to be approved by the full House by a vote of 55 to 10. The South Dakota School Transportation Association and its members, public and private school bus operators throughout South Dakota, make the safety of our school children their absolute first priority. We would not support this legislation if we had any doubts that the safeguards contained in it would work. So on behalf of the South Dakota School Transportation Association, I urge your support of this legislation.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Do we have further proponents of House Bill 1202? Good morning.
Good morning again. My name is Tim Steichen. I am the current president of the South Dakota School Transportation Association. I am also the transportation supervisor for the Watertown School District. I appreciate this opportunity to voice my support on behalf of the association membership and for myself of HB 1202. The South Dakota School Transportation Association is made up of private school busing contractors and public school transportation departments from across South Dakota. We range from the largest, such as School Bus Incorporated of Sioux Falls and Rapid City Public Schools, to the more modest, such as Walter Transportation of Iroquois and the Waverly South Shore School District. Among our missions are driver training, keeping up with new products in the busing industry, school bus driver recognition, and school bus safety. Members of our association made up the entire South Dakota delegation for the 2005 National Congress of School Transportation in Warrensburg, Missouri. Recognizing the ever-growing problem of school bus driver shortages and retention, the association membership has voted to actively pursue legislation that would provide a course of action for an insulin-dependent person to follow in order to acquire a commercial driver's license with a school bus endorsement. The end result being that person would hold a license to drive a school bus within the state of South Dakota. HB 1202 is that legislation. HB 1202 would allow those people who are insulin dependent for the purpose of controlling their disease to receive a waiver only after fulfilling all the set requirements of the bill. Any person unable to meet the requirements would still be ineligible to receive a school bus endorsement and therefore could not drive a school bus within the state of South Dakota. HB 1202 would also have the added benefit of giving a driver that is currently diabetic and controls their condition with oral medication, exercise, and diet, but may be better off with insulin injection, the opportunity to do that without the loss of their school bus license. Just such a scenario has recently played out for one of my drivers. After a doctor visit about a month ago, he was advised he should start taking insulin injections. He was resistant to the idea because he knew it would be the end of his 14-year school bus driving career. If this legislation had been in place, he would have known he had a course of action to take to attempt to keep the job he loved. And believe me when I say you don't have a 14-year bus driving career without loving. In conclusion, to help in the recruitment of new drivers and the retention of active drivers, the South Dakota School Transportation Association respectfully requests your support of HB 1202. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Second. Do we have further proponents for House Bill 1202? Any further proponents of House Bill 1202? Seeing none, do we have opponents for House Bill 1202? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will not need the rebuttal time, but we will open it up for committee questions for our proponents.
Madam Chair.
Representative Vanderlinde.
I have a question for Mr. Meyer, I believe. You were talking about interstate, and you said 13 other states have interstate licenses?
Intrastate.
They're intrastate. Okay, so South Dakota would be the 14th?
Right.
They have the same bill?
I understand it would be.
Okay, all right, thank you. That clarified it.
Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Ms. And again for Rick Meyer, if you would. Rick, could you just, if you have it there, give me the site for that study from, was it New York, that you began your testimony with?
I don't have that address with me right now. I can get it for you if you like.
Okay. The only reason I asked was to put it into the record because I think it's sounded like a fairly credible study.
I'll look at my notes just a minute. I don't believe I have it, though.
And follow up, Madam Chair?
Representative Nygaard, go ahead.
While he's doing that, I might just ask Rick if he was... I recognize this bill. I thought we had it in Health and Human Services last year. I see Bob. Huh? Okay, the Senate made a mistake because we had a very lengthy discussion of it and passed it out of the out of this committee last year. No, it wasn't transportation. It was Health and Human Services. Ask Representative Baumgarten down there. Anyhow, Mr. Meyer,
I don't have it with me.
No problem. Thank you.
Representative Kurd.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Meyer, I have a question for you. You may or may not be aware that the country of Canada allows airline transport pilots to fly with a Class 1 medical certificate that if they have type 1 diabetes, insulin-dependent diabetes. They have a very strict testing protocol that goes along with that. They have to check their blood sugar 30 minutes prior to departure and every 60 minutes thereafter. And if they have an unacceptably low reading, they then check every 30 minutes to make sure that they don't have a significant insulin reaction. Reading through the bill before me, I didn't see any testing requirement. For the airline transport pilot, they require a log be kept of those kind of testing. So was any consideration given to that kind of protocol for this bill?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't believe there's any requirement in there for that, although it is a two-year waiver. So it's not, even though there's a requirement that a five-year history be shown, it still has to be renewed every 2 years. But in answer to your direct question, I don't believe there's any requirement for a logging.
Yes.
In your opinion, do you think that would be prohibitive if the committee were to ask for some kind of glucose monitoring protocol to occur throughout the duty day in effect for the bus?
Not being a diabetic myself, I'm not sure what that would do. It may not be a major deterrent.
Thanks.
Follow-up, Representative Kurd? Okay. The chair does have a question for Mr. Meyer. And I caught it in your testimony, and I'm not sure just what it all means as far as the waiver. You talked about 2005. My question would be, how does that waiver work? Is it part of the Code of Federal Regulations, that part of Part 391? And in there's a Section 3 that says, has no established medical history of clinical diagnosis of diabetes mellitus currently requiring insulin for control. Is the waiver that you discussed in relation to the Code of Federal Regulations?
I'm not sure where the reference is in the CFRs, but it is called the Federal Diabetes Waiver Program that's administered by the Department of Transportation.
The South Dakota Department of Transportation?
U.S. Department of Transportation.
Okay.
The waiver program is interstate, administered by the U.S. Department of Transportation, and it's only for interstate drivers. They choose not, the U.S. Department of Transportation chooses not to be involved with regulating school bus operations intrastate.
Could you read that waiver format again?
Well, what I had said is that the in 2005, the U.S. Department of Transportation adopted a diabetes waiver program allowing drivers to drive interstate. And I don't know exactly what your question is on that.
Is that the whole wording of the waiver, that they just allow any person with type 1 diabetes?
No, it's well controlled. You know, they have some pretty major stipulations on that.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
And our legislation here is drafted much like the federal requirement is, too.
So it is modeled after that?
Right, very much like it, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Vanderlinde.
Just another quick clarification of Representative Kurtz. Usually insulin-dependent diabetics go see their endocrinologist or their doctor quarterly. Would it be out of line to ask that quarterly report, which has a history of the last 3 months, log of their testing on it? I see you do extensive testing before, but I'm just worried about, during that two-year waiver, I think that if you had proof that their diabetes is well under control during their tenure as a bus driver, I'd feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shouldn't. I wouldn't think that would be a deterrent.
Because they see the doctor, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, they see the doctor every quarter. And if we could just have the doctor's visit in there or a history log of their testing.
Is that your question, Representative Van der Linde, or do you want to save that for comments?
I think that it's comments.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, I'm sorry.
Further questions of our proponents from committee members?
Madam Chair.
Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Meyer, now, are there other CDL licenses or drivers of CDL licenses that are prohibited from driving if they are insulin dependent, those that maybe are intrastate?
My understanding is that a regular commercial motor vehicle driver intrastate can get licensed currently, but the restriction now is on school bus drivers.
So if I may follow up then, to your knowledge then, the only people driving large vehicles that are restricted that are insulin dependent are just those driving school buses in South Dakota?
To my understanding, yes.
Yes, Representative Lucas.
No, it's
Nygaard. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for the prime sponsor. Madam Chair, may I go ahead? Representative Fain, were you the prime sponsor last year on this one also?
Madam Chair. Representative Nygaard, yes, I was. I was the prime sponsor last year at the request of the two folks that have testified. Obviously, as you noted, one of them is from Watertown, so I agreed to help with the bill. I was not. I was a co-sponsor. Representative Yerke was the prime sponsor. I apologize. I was a co-sponsor, but I helped testify on it. It passed quite easily in the House, and someone on the Senate side found some problem with it and killed it in committee over there. And I'm not quite sure what the issue was. I think it was a misunderstanding, but we didn't have much problem with it in the House last year.
Follow up. Mm-hmm. And just so that for my own sanity, it was in Health and Human Services that it came through because...
You know, I don't remember.
We had a lengthy...
I really don't remember.
I remember the testimony regarding the scarcity of the drivers and the inability to find drivers parallel to this testimony today.
I could answer your question, but my memory doesn't serve well on that either. You think it was transportation? Okay.
Thank you. Now that we have that ironed out, are there any further questions from the committee for our proponents? Seeing no questions, then we will close this part of the committee to testimony and open it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Dreyer?
Move to pass.
Motion by Representative Dreyer, do pass, and seconded by Representative Mosier. Representative Dreyer, would you like to address your motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. Real quickly, I just think this is a bit of a no-brainer bill. I think they've covered the concerns that we might have as far as diabetics driving school buses. It's something that's open up to the rest of the industry, and I think it's would help with the employment shortage that they're facing.
Thank you, Representative Dreyer. Further committee comments on the motion? Representative Rabe?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I will support the do-pass motion with some reluctance. I have some experience with this. I've had an employee that deals with this issue, and we drive ambulances. Weekly, we find people parked at stop signs or stoplights in town, and they don't move. Well, it's because they're hypoglycemic. They're confused. Luckily, they're able to stop and just sit there and wait, and, you know, so you give them a little glucose, and they perk up, and then usually just go on their way. But it's not I beg to differ with Representative Dreyer. It's not a no-brainer. I do have some concerns, and I think there's legitimate concerns. And even people that control their diabetes well still have hypoglycemic reactions. They just do. And even in this day and age of insulin pumps all the new medical advances we've made in the last 17 years that I've been doing my job, they still happen. And so I'm a little bit hesitant. I'm supportive of the idea. I think Representative Kurt is going to speak here about some amendments that I think are friendly, that will make it a little bit better bill. And so I will support it and probably then support it on the floor with the amendments. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rabe. Representative Kurt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with Representative Rave's position. I think this is a bill that is a good thought and probably time for it to come to pass. I believe that a school bus transporting children through the state of South Dakota can more likely than not be operated safely by a type 1 insulin-dependent diabetic, much as the airline transport industry has discovered in Canada can be safely done transporting passengers across the globe, actually. I think perhaps a testing protocol is something that we should look at seriously prior to bringing this to the House floor, but I will support with due pass today.
Thank you, Representative Kurd. Representative Nygaard.
Thank you. I, too, want to add my comments to this support of this motion. When we look at 49 CFR 391.441, we know that public policy, having been established by our federal government under the Interstate Commerce Clause, supports this type of exemption. And unlike ours, where we have a two-month citizen legislature that with very little resources to do the research, the federal Congress has a great deal of resources and has, I'm sure, given a great deal of thought to this. And I appreciate the concerns. I take some comfort in that fact that the federal government has led the way and that this is modeled after their act. So, and I would support any and all amendments that this committee brings forth. So with that, I'll be voting due pass also.
Thank you, Representative Nygaard. I, too, will support it this morning with some reservations, as was noted by Representative Raven, and I will be looking to find and to see the national waiver and how that is worded and to be able to compare. I also appreciated, though, Mr. Steichen's comments about the bus driver who started with type 2 and had to take insulin. Actually, I, too, am in the medical world as far as a dietitian, and I have seen that. I have had a client where they started with oral agents, et cetera, and was recommended by the physician to go to insulin, but didn't want to because they had a CDL, and they knew what was going to happen. And they weren't taking care of themselves as well as they would have because they didn't want to lose their CDL. So there's certainly some merit to this bill, and maybe they're there is some tweaking possibly to be done. So I too will support it. Are there other committee comments? Seeing none, I will ask the secretary to call the vote. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, nay. Thank you.
Representative Blake?
Aye.
Garden?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
Dreyer?
Aye.
Ironclad? Jensen?
Aye.
Lucas? Mosier?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Bronkema?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Madam Chair, there were 11 yeas, no nays.
We have had unanimous passing of this bill, and it will go to the floor, House Bill 1202, with the due pass motion. Thank you to those of you that have been here to testify. And before we move on any faster, I think we have personal privilege maybe by one of our members.
Or we got a new member, one of the
or improved, the new improved version down there.
Yeah, that's exactly how I was going to try to word it. Well, I guess for the Health Committee, I'd like to introduce Ellen Elizabeth, who's come out to the castle to see Prince Rounds. That's Mike, not Tim. I got clarified last year. And she gets to go to the military ball tonight. And I think they're going to play Sleeping Beauty for her, and I think Prince Rounds might come out and meet her there.
Great. Well, welcome. We're glad to have you here. Representative Dreyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted everyone to know that Ellen loves Nick.
That's precious.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Madam Chair.
Representative Boomgarden.
I already did a check on his cash balance statement, so it'll be cleared.
Good, good. Fathers always protect their daughters. With that, we will move on to House Bill 1204, and we have our sponsor here, Representative Hunt. Good morning, Representative Hunt.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
House Bill 1204, probably needless to say, is an important piece of legislation for the community of Brandon because it deals with Bethany Meadows, which is a relatively new and very nice and very good facility for seniors as well as assisted living and so on. And so this bill was basically brought so that Bethany could move some beds out of Sioux Falls to the new facility in Brandon. And it's a good logical move because there's more space out in Brandon, and it just would be good, obviously, for Brandon, good for sales tax, and good for a number of things. But when we presented House Bill 1204, we were approached by the Department of Social Services, who for 2 years has been trying to work on the subject of long-term care. And they said while they agree with this project, they haven't finalized all their criteria for movement of beds, new beds, elimination of beds, etc. And so they have requested, the executive branch, second floor, has requested that we delay moving forward on House Bill 1204 at this time. They have given us assurances that next year they will be in a position to be able to assist us in going forward with this particular project. So having said that, Madam Chair, I would respectfully request that the committee move House Bill 1204 to the 41st legislative day.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. Then with that, we will open it up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Boomgarden.
Madam Chair, I respectfully table House Bill 1204.
Thank you. We've had a motion to table by Representative Boomgarden. Do we have a second, Representative Mosier? Seconded by Representative Mosier. There is no discussion on a tabling motion. Therefore, I will ask the Secretary to call the vote. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, please say nay.
Representative Blake.
Aye.
Boomgarden?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
Dreyer?
Aye.
Ironclad? Jensen?
Aye.
Lucas? Mosier?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Baumkema?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
I'm sure there were 11 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 1204 has been moved to the 41st day. Thank you, Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the 41st table.
Excuse me, tabled. House Bill 1204 was tabled. Thank you. With that, I would like to announce to the committee that we will not have a meeting on Tuesday. You've been a very good committee, so therefore, we have Tuesday off. But we will be meeting on Thursday. We'll have a full load on Thursday next week. With that, may we have a motion for adjournment?
Second.
Moved by Representative Jensen, seconded by Representative Rave. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We'll see you next week.